Pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. Once again, we're broadcasting from the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Grateful to be in this place. We invite you to look with us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1, and it tells us these words of wisdom from the Word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Verses 1 through 5, Romans chapter 12. Lord, we thank you once again for the blessing and the privilege of being here at the Fusion Conference. And Lord, thank you for the many individuals that are here. Lord, thank you for the great thing you're doing to bring unity amongst your people and to bring about revival in our culture and our world. Lord, we commit this day into your hands. Lord, anoint the full broadcast and all those that will be on it. And Lord, we pray that the name of Jesus will be lifted up mightily through all that is said and done. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As I said, we were here at the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Our first guest today, we're grateful to have with us Pastor H. Wade Trump. He may be one of President Trump's first cousins, but we're grateful to have him on as he shares some about the church he pastors and something new they're doing, Jamestown Christian Fellowship in Williamsburg, Virginia. Pastor Trump, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph, for having me on your program.
Good to have you today. And as we start off, Pastor Trump, if you'll just share with our listeners a little bit more to introduce yourself to them and then share about just the work that you're doing, the special work you're doing through Jamestown Christian Fellowship.
Amen. Well, on March the 31st, 1995, my wife and three children, we moved to Williamsburg, which if those who are listening don't know a lot about Williamsburg, never come to the East Coast before, Williamsburg is a very historical city. Mm-hmm. It has another little sub-city, so to speak, called Jamestown. It's the place where on May the 13th, 1607, three ships from England landed on the southeast shores of the James River, or on the south side of Virginia, and started what we call the United States of America. 25 years ago, when we actually started coming to Williamsburg, I was literally a revivalist at heart. Really believed in all the revivals that took place in America, knew about the prayer movements and whatnot, and really was a student of that, and decided to go and get what was necessary, which was in Bible college, my degree, and take on the ministry at age 37. I was very successful in the business world, but decided to go into the ministry. So we moved there in 1995 and started to work. And 22 years later, as of this past March the 31st, we had some exciting news that we have purchased, or not purchased yet, will purchase a piece of acreage at Jamestown and build the Christian Heritage Museum and Worship Center. Now, this will be the
museum and a church.
And a church. Mm-hmm. Now, to give the listeners some understanding of maybe church life in America back in the early 1600s, there were six churches built between 1607 and the year 1800. So there were six total churches in that vicinity that preached the gospel.
During, you mean to be between that 200-year period?
Correct.
Period.
In other words, 1607 to 1800, there were six churches that were built and actually filled with, obviously, the people and the Episcopal priests that were over those churches. Mm-hmm. Since then, it's been 217 years, and there has not been a church at the birthplace of Judeo-Christian faith to preach the gospel. Hmm. So there's been a 217-year lull of not having a church at Jamestown, which is the birthplace of America.
Right. Hmm. So you all are about to be, well, the church is not new, but the facility
Correct.
That you're about to build
Correct. We're about to build, believe it or not, it's a wonderful facility that's been designed. It's about 50,000 square feet, and what we want to do is host the body of Christ as they come to Jamestown. The one thing that they'll notice about Jamestown, obviously it talks a lot about England, but it doesn't talk a lot about God. And obviously prayer is not even on the list of anything being interpreted down at Jamestown. Now, I take that back. There may be a few people that go down there like I do on the National Day of Prayer. Mm-hmm. And obviously Easter Sunday when there's the sunrise services and whatnot. But for the most part, there is no church there.
Right. Okay.
And we want to change that.
Mm-hmm. So when would you foresee having the facility finished and built?
We hope by 2019, and there's a reason I say that. Mm-hmm. It's actually something that's coming up for Jamestown's history mm-hmm. in 2019. Four particular things that are going to be the 400th anniversary of. Mm-hmm. And going back to 1619 in August was when they formed our government of the United States of America on Jamestown Island in the mm-hmm. church. Mm-hmm. The second thing was that was the year that a Dutch ship came and offloaded 20 Africans at Jamestown, which was literally what we know of today as the beginning of slavery. Mm-hmm. The third thing is a bride ship came in 2019 because they wanted to promote family. Obviously, the bunch of guys on an island forever, you're not going to really multiply. So they brought a whole bride ship to actually begin the whole idea of family. Mm-hmm. And the fourth thing is most people look at Thanksgiving as starting in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. But actually, the first Thanksgiving or harvest meal took place in December of 2019, or not 2019, but 1619, in a place called Charles City, Virginia, where the indigenous chiefs came together with the colonists and had a harvest meal.
Hmm. Okay. So lots of history that intersects.
Lots of history. So what's happening in 2019 is that they are going to have all kinds of activities to celebrate the 400th anniversary of these particular events.
Okay.
But nowhere on the list is God.
Mm-hmm.
But we hope to change that.
All right. Well, how would you like, Pastor Trump, how would you like to see people really pray for the work that you and the Jamestown Christian Fellowship will be doing in bringing this, both the facility and the ministry, to this community?
Well, it takes a great step of faith. First of all, our church is about 70 members.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the numbers that it's going to take to build a 50,000 square foot facility, mm-hmm. It's a big leap of faith, and that
right.
would be like in the number $23 million.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously praying for the finances necessary to make this a reality. Now, I know that God has really deep pockets, but he also has people that are out there praying that if you really understand the importance of bringing worship back to Jamestown, which is literally the place where Reverend Robert Hunt gave First Communion. The First mm-hmm. Communion, for most people that might not know this, was given on Pentecost Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
In America in mm-hmm. 1607. So that should say something right there.
Right.
God wants something amazing down there. And for right now, there is nothing that people can come to or be drawn to other than the English, you know, history and heritage that we have in America at Jamestown.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to have 400 years of revivals and whatnot that people can walk through with all the type of media that's available now, and their children can get excited about our Christian heritage,
mm-hmm.
but at the birthplace of where it started.
Okay.
But to pray for that, to pray that it comes to pass.
So for two specific things people can pray for, and say them one more time for us.
Finances, obviously one,
mm-hmm.
and protection. We're going to a place that hasn't had a church in 217 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And obviously, you know, between city council and other things we have to get approved through, we obviously need favor.
Mm-hmm.
I would think in this time and age with regards to our nation and all the turmoil that we see taking place and the divisions, you know, we know that where the answer is, it's through Christ Jesus.
That's
that
right.
that we bring the unity that you talked about at the beginning of the program
mm-hmm.
back into the picture at the birthplace, at the very taproot of America. And besides that, I've got to tell you, you did say my last name was Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to say this. In November 21, it was when the Lord, through prayer, told me to put an actual contract on this land.
Mm-hmm.
This land we've been trying to get for over 3 years
mm-hmm.
with no success.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in my prayer time, and all of a sudden the Lord says, call up the real estate agent and tell him to put a contract.
Right.
Within 2 weeks after that, we had a contract on the land to purchase
mm-hmm.
it. So I say that to say this. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that Donald Trump, some of you may or may not like him, but the fact of the matter is his slogan has always been, make America great again.
That's right.
But as we know as Christians, there's mm-hmm. only one way to do that. And so I'm saying at the birthplace of America, through Reverend Wade Trump, I'm going to do my best to do whatever is necessary to build a church and a museum so the body of Christ around America will have a place to come to at the birthplace of America to honor and worship God and pray there on a 24/7 prayer room that's going to be available on property.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Trump, would you take time to pray for listeners as it relates to, you know, of course, God has lots of vision that he lays before individuals and church fellowships to do different projects, all of them for his glory. And something I would mention that's so important is we're all supposed to listen to the Holy Spirit because he always knows what's supposed to be done and what can be done, you know, that's in the heart of God. And he has work in so many different places. But a key is listen to God.
Amen.
Each of us has to listen and obey. Would you pray for believers to grow in their need to do that, to live a lifestyle, both individually and in their church families, to a lifestyle of listening to God and obeying?
Yes. Okay. So, Lord, we come to you today, and we just thank you, Father God, that first of all, you listen.
Thank
and
you.
Lord, I just thank you for that fact, is that you do listen to us and you intercede. You're at the right hand of the Father, and you're our intercessor. And God, you just take all the prayers and supposedly you just collect those in heaven.
Thank you.
So right now I'm just asking for those of those people that are out here listening to the program today that
you
would increase your faith.
Thank you.
Not give up on the past prayers that you've might have been praying for 20 years and seen no result yet, because those prayers are logged in heaven still, and God knows your needs.
Thank you.
So right now, I just pray for individuals. I pray for church pastors, especially during the time that we're living in America, that they be encouraged, that they wouldn't give up the ship, but they would go forward and know that they still have the call, and that they're only just a short distance from seeing what I believe will be a great blessing in their own personal lives, and to see salvations come back through the doors again and people hungry for God. I just ask that all of us together corporately could believe for America for the third great awakening. Truthfully, Lord, I'm just believing that the epicenter, Lord God, of that whole thing is on the East Coast, where this nation started and the first covenant was made with Reverend Robert Hunt at Jamestown in 1607. Lord, I'm believing that, God, this whole nation is going to be rocked and turned back to you.
Thank you.
I also pray for the faith of those in any city that they're hearing this broadcast, that they'll believe the same for their cities to be rocked for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Trump, our time is almost gone, but you have about a little over a minute or so. You mentioned that in when they first arrived, one of the ships was a bride ship. And, of course, the goal was to encourage family. And we live in a culture today where the devil is trying to destroy the family. Would you just take a moment to pray for the church to really focus on building strong families in our community as well, our culture?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Okay. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, that you, first of all, God, you're a family.
Thank
God. You love family.
Thank you.
And, Lord, I'm praying for every family right now in America, Lord God, to be strong.
Yes, Lord.
To come, Jesus. Lord God, into their fullness, Lord Jesus, with every attack of stress and insecurities and everything that we have going on in this country, Lord, I would say that, God, your Holy Spirit come and fill their living rooms, fill their houses, Jesus. Lord God, and give them the courage and the wisdom to pull their families strong together and understand that the power of America is in family.
Thank you, Lord.
And the number one attack that we could see from the devil would be to try to split those families up. So in the name of Jesus, we come against that spirit of division in homes and families.
Thank you, Lord.
And we just pray your blessing over every family in America that's listening to this broadcast. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our guest has been Pastor H. Wade Trump, the pastor of Jamestown Christian Fellowship. Please lift he and the vision God has placed on his heart and his fellowship up in prayer. Thank you, Pastor Trump.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Out of all the people in the world, we've all done or will do the following. Be birthed into this earth, grow, go to school, maybe go to college, get married, have kids, grow old, and die. Doesn't sound too eventful when put in that perspective. For many, the thought of discipling someone is foreign from the mind and not even on the to-do list. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus tells us to go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A disciple is more than a student, he or she is a follower of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things in this world, but there's nothing like being a Christian. It's a life filled with adventures. Receiving an education, vacationing, marriage, having kids are good, but there's nothing like taking the time to nourish someone in God's word so that they can be a force to be reckoned with. That is priceless. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
I'll say this. What I think needs to happen is I think the husband needs to, never in front of anybody, because an audience always escalates a situation. Mm-hmm. It could be something real simple that the two of you have discussed before, but when you've got eyes, a second set of eyes, I don't care who
you're right.
Right? It always escalates a situation. Mm-hmm. And you could say something the way you would always say it, always talk about it, but one element different, just having one person, now it's a performance.
Yeah.
What I'm saying? Definitely. And so you always want to make sure that you don't do that. And so I think if, you know, speaking as a wife, I want to know as close to that moment as possible in a way that protects my feelings that I have injured you.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Music of Adam and Tara Lowry, the song simply entitled Closer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we're broadcasting from the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. And we have during this segment Pastor Jim Gibson. He's the executive pastor of First Baptist Church in Cleveland, Tennessee. Pastor Gibson, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for having me, Joseph. It's a privilege to be here.
Good to have you today. And you said this is, for you and your wife, this is your fourth or fifth time being here, right?
Yes, sir. It sure is. And it's a blessing every single time we come.
That's good. Well, can you share with our listeners, why do you come to the Fusion Conference? What is your goal?
When I was growing up in my home church, I went to youth camp every summer. It started when I was 12 years old and actually went to youth camp for many years as a camper, then as a counselor, then as a youth minister.
Okay.
And those weeks were always highlights in my life. Mm-hmm. And I look at Heart Cry like a youth camp for me as an adult.
A grown-up youth camp.
Exactly. To come away, get with the Lord in a place that I believe is a sacred place, mm-hmm. to meet with people who love the Lord, to hear challenging messages for my own life. Mm-hmm. And it seems like each time I come here, God has something specific that He wants to say to me through the time here, time with my wife, time listening to the messages, prayer times, all of these things come together to just be a spiritual highlight for me.
Okay. Well, Pastor Gibson, tell me, like, if you had to share maybe one or two messages that have been especially, that have really impacted you, can you share what one or two of them that have really spoken to your heart?
Well, every message has been powerful. I think when John Avant shared about the fire of revival falling and the desire that everyone here, and I know many other believers as well, have to see a movement of God that is unexplainable, that we can't say, well, it happened because this and this and this, but simply God did it, mm-hmm. and there's no logical explanation for it. That is something that I have a heart to see and to be a part of. You know, we read about great spiritual awakenings and God's moving around the world. And I was just a little boy when the Jesus movement thing took place in the late 60s and early 70s. And the revival movement that took place, I believe, at Asbury College in Kentucky, Wilmore, Kentucky. And then different things that have happened. And I just long to be a part of some special movement of God. And I believe God wants to do that, not just in my own life, not just in America, but literally, I believe a movement around the world is something He wants to see take place. And that's, I think, a general theme that everybody is talking about, how God wants to bring a renewed burden and burning for His presence, His manifest glory to be shown, that lives are changed for us as believers,
right.
and people come to know the Lord because they truly see a difference in our lives. So that message was extremely powerful. This morning, Ryan Loving's just message and challenge in regard to laying ourselves on the altar, that God would know that He can use us, and that we need to have revival begin in our own lives. I heard Byron Paulus share a message many years ago, and he takes a piece of chalk, and maybe you've seen this or done this, but he takes a piece of chalk and draws a circle on the floor, and then he gets inside that circle, and he said, if revival is going to begin, I need it to begin in this circle. And that means with me. And that's a thing that I come here as well to see what God wants to challenge me with in my own life. And the preachers can be challenging. They can be encouraging, always lifting up the Word and with an expectancy that God's going to do a great move before His Son comes back again, and I just hope that's going to happen. So I don't know that I touched on any one particular message, but those two have really stuck out in my mind. Michael Katz's message last night about the church being in a drought, the church being famished, and we need to have a longing within our pulpits and within our pews that God would do a fresh work among us. So those are just some of the things that have meant a lot to me already this year.
Right. Okay. Would you take time now, Pastor Gibson, to pray for listeners to have a desire in their heart and in their life for revival as well? Because, you know, there are many people that may be listening, didn't make it to this conference or may not get to any particular conference, but of course, the Holy Spirit is the fire for revival anywhere.
That's exactly right.
Would you pray for them?
I would love to do that. Okay. Father, I believe that within the pews of many churches, there are people longing to see something unexplainable, unique.
Thank you.
Like the early church leaders turning the world upside down because of what you were doing in them and through them.
Yes.
And I pray for pastors that they would be bold to preach your word and challenge the people in their pews to be responsive and open to what God is saying to them. And as we heard this morning, to just lay our yes on the table to what you prompt us to do. I know that all of us can get caught up in the cares of this world, doing many good things. And so often we miss out on your best because we're doing good things, but it's not what you want us to do. I pray for the person in the pew who is hurting and broken and discouraged and disheartened in their own lives, and pray that you would minister your grace and mercy unbelievably to them. But beyond that, would you create within them a burning desire to see you work in their own lives, in the lives of their family, in the lives of their churches, and our nation, and ultimately globally, that we might see a great and mighty work from you. And Lord, we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I thank you for Pastor Gibson, and thank you for many other pastors and other spiritual leaders that are present here at this event. And thank you for your hand of grace upon this event and upon every speaker that's spoken thus far.
Yes.
Lord, anoint the balance of the event with an even greater anointing. And Lord, stir us, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that your Spirit would reach through us. And even as we leave this place, that we would be vessels, each one of us, to bring revival to our individual communities. Not because it's popular, but because it's your heart. It's what you want to see happen, to bring healing and wholeness to your people, to our communities, to our world. Stir us to be the people set on fire that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
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 Pastor Gibson, let me ask you this too. You mentioned Pastor John Avant's message in particular too. And you know, one of the things that struck me about his message is he shared how that God has used and is using individuals or church communities that basically really begin to love people, begin to reach out. And one of the things that seemed to be a powerful part of what he was sharing was simply doing what God has already told us to do. You know,
it's not
so much new things.
That's correct.
But I think in some ways, and I just want to get your reaction to this, but in some ways, the lack of revival is largely the lack of obedience. Things we know we're supposed to be doing, it's clear in Scripture, but just isn't happening. Could you share your thoughts on that?
We can go to both secular and Christian bookstores and see books on everything in the world that are good, more than we ever have before, and yet there is an absence of God's power that we believe is available, but somehow we're not accessing that. And it would appear in listening to some of the speakers here and other places that until we are obedient, until we are a separated, holy people, not three times holy like God is holy, but He challenged us to be ye holy, even as I am holy. And until we become obedient, we don't need a lot of new messages. We just need to be obedient to the old messages that we've heard for literally 2,000 years. And I'm as guilty as anyone. It is the church's fault that there is no revival. It's not God's fault, and it's not the world's fault. It's the church's fault. And we have failed to be the salt and light that God desires for us to be.
You know, part of what you just shared, it reminds me, in fact, I would challenge every listener to go back and read a passage. In fact, it was one of the passages one of the speakers touched on, but Isaiah chapter 1, and it talks about God's reaction to much of our worship and some of the things that we as the church do. And God obviously is not happy with much of it.
Yes.
And much of it has to do with us just not doing the things he's called us as the church to do. To love people, to reach out with people, to share the word of God with people. Basic things. Again, it's not rocket science.
Correct.
Just simple things God has told us to do that we're just not doing as the church.
That's right. So, you're exactly right.
Would you pray specifically, Pastor Gibson, for churches to really grasp a need to really embrace the Word of God, to teach people to read it and to live it specifically? Would you?
Absolutely. Lord, you tell us in your Word that your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus. You tell us that if we will hide your Word in our heart, have victory over sin. Paul speaks of the relationship that we have to you because we have been buried with you in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. John speaks of abiding with you. And we need so desperately to have a desperation for your word to wash us. And we have to not just read your word or memorize it, but meditate on it. And may we digest it so that it becomes a part of who we are. So often we as believers make our Christ life a piece of our life rather than the core of our lives. And the core impacts everything.
Thank you.
And Father, help us to love your law, not be bound to the rules and the regulations, but the relationship that you desire to have for us. You were motivated by love to come to this earth. May we be motivated by love to be obedient to you. Paul speaks of the love of Christ constraining us, compelling us to be obedient because of your great love. And so often we're satisfied with mediocrity in our lives. Help us to desire not to be casual Christians, but to be Christians who are on fire for you. And Father, we know we cannot do that on our own. We can't pull up our own bootstraps. We can't grit our teeth enough. We can only do that with the same grace that saved us. That grace is what allows us to live in victory over temptation, over mediocrity, over simply not doing what you tell us to do. May we appropriate your word in our lives we might see you work in us and through us. And it is in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Gibson. You know, what you shared a moment ago reminds me of the story of Cain and Abel. That's an example of religion versus faith.
Whereas,
you know, Cain brought God what he wanted to bring him. And Abel brought God what God required.
That's right.
And, you know, when we bring God what he's told us, and when we come to him with a life of obedience and commitment, we get God's work done, God is glorified, and people are pointed to the Lord. Again, religion doesn't help. Religion was behind, sadly, the first murder as well.
That's true.
And so we're called to be a people that hear the word of God and obey the word of God as well.
That's correct.
Thank you so much, Pastor Gibson, for being with us on the Hour of Intercession today.
Thank you for the privilege. I appreciate it.
And have a safe trip back home.
Thank you, sir. Same to you, Pastor.
All right. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
Karen, a wife, a mother, a business owner. Needless to say, I'm very busy. Sometimes I scarcely get everything done. That's why I love the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. He reminds me to stop and take time to pray and read God's Word. His encouragement is great. I carry it with me everywhere I go.
The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. Weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
My name's Jim. Years of drug and alcohol abuse left my body in shreds, and I didn't think anything could turn my life around. But when I came to Teen Challenge, I found the power to live drug-free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says life can be pretty bitter without something to sweeten it up. But what are the right ingredients and how do they mix together? We'll find out today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I don't drink black coffee. To me, black coffee is nasty. So whenever I make coffee or coffee is made for me, there is an understanding there will be cream in it. And when cream is placed in my coffee, a transformation occurs. I watch black become brown. Because something has been introduced to it that didn't stop it from being coffee, but it sure changed how it tastes. But I am not satisfied with an introduction of cream. I want an inculcation of cream. I want it all up in there. I want it from the tutti to the fruity. I want that cream to make itself known all the way through my coffee because I want it to be good to the last drop. Because I have integrated it, I have absorbed it in the total blackness of the coffee. See, some Christians are satisfied to throw a little Jesus on top, and Jesus is saying, no, I want you to stir me in so that from the beginning of your day to the end of your day, you are consumed with me because your life is hidden in me. I need to be the sum total of the definition of your existence if you want to experience the transformation that I'm offering.
Find out how you can experience that transformation Tony was talking about by inviting Jesus Christ into your life. Visit TonyEvans.org today and click on the link at the top that says Jesus. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Fred Hammond, the song, Please Don't Pass Me By. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we're grateful to have you listening today as we're broadcasting from the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference at the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove in Asheville, North Carolina, near Asheville, North Carolina. In this segment, we're grateful to have with us as our guest Pastor Gabriel Norris. He's the pastor of Connecting Point Chapel in Beloit, Ohio. Pastor Norris, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
That's good. I appreciate you being with us in this segment. And as we start off, I will ask if you'll take a few moments just to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about Connecting Point Chapel.
Okay, well, as has been mentioned, my name is Gabriel Norris. I'm 37 years old, and I've been a pastor for about almost 15 years. Connecting Point Chapel is located in northeastern Ohio, not far from Youngstown, Ohio, and we are a more of a rural congregation, and we are a fairly small church, but we're growing, and just excited about what God's doing there.
Okay, all righty then. And is this your first time coming to the Fusion Conference?
Yes, it is.
All righty. What brought you here this time?
A friend of mine from our local ministerial association, Tracy Edwards. He's a Presbyterian pastor, and he invited me, and so glad he did.
Okay. And so far since you've been here, I'd like to ask if you'll share maybe a message or some of the activities that have taken place that have really impacted you, really made really touched you in a significant way. Can you share just some of the things that have really touched you especially?
Absolutely. I can honestly say that every session so far, every service has been impactful. Mm-hmm. I guess the one that impacted me the most was the second session after Daniel Henderson. I can't remember the fellow's name right now, but he talked about what God's doing across the world and how revival is spreading in these other countries, and just phenomenal, and it's really, really made my heart cry even more. And,
right.
Realizing that God's doing it in other places, and I want to see him do it where I'm at.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you may be referring to the message by Pastor John Avan.
Yes.
And it's powerful to see God doing some wonderful things, some powerful things in so many different parts of the world. And it should be the longing of every single listener and every believer to want to see God move in that way here. Now, some of the different leaders have touched on reasons as to why they feel like we're not seeing it here. Do you recall any things that they've said in particular that have been hindrances to revival happening in our culture here in the U.S.?
Yes, I think last evening's message by Michael Catt, I think he hit the nail on the head. We are in famine here in America. We have so many things that we're starving for the things that matter most. Just a wonderful message.
Yeah, very powerful message too, and you know, I think of this. I think listeners would be wise to get some of the messages that have been preached, and that have been some very, very powerful messages shared. If you had to say, like as a pastor, like for example, you mentioned you have a as it relates to the prayer ministry at Connecting Point Chapel. Would you share with us what are some of the priorities that you and your church family have in your prayer ministry?
Well, the priorities that we've kind of set up, let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Daniel Henderson is here with Strategic Renewal and 6-4 Fellowship.
Okay.
He offers coaching for pastors and church leaders to basically foster a desire for a revival, desire for prayer in churches, and kind of get us back to the Acts 6-4 model there, which is studying and preaching the Word of God in prayer. And so what we've kind of done is from that, we've incorporated worship-based prayer in our church a lot. And so in our prayer gatherings, which right now we have special prayer services actually twice a month on Sunday night, now that it's devoted to worship and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've kind of emphasized that. And then among our elders and our deacons, we've really taken to not as much planning all the time in our meetings, and just spend time praying and seeking God's face for revival of where we live.
Mm. And you know, Pastor Norris, that's really a huge point that you just made, that there's such a need in the church to see that we're called to be a house of prayer.
Yes.
Prayer is to be one of the high priorities of every local church fellowship. Yet sadly, prayers too often could be defined as an afterthought. It's a side issue that happens here and there, but is not the priority it needs to be. And, of course, through prayer we access the heart of God, the Spirit of God, and the grace of God, and it should be a much greater priority for us then. So that certainly is an important part of the prayer ministry. Should be an important priority for every local church. So
absolutely.
I appreciate you sharing that too. Would you take time now specifically to pray for the church as it relates to some of the points, the issues you've heard brought up during the conference, areas of need that where we see the church is in need of help, in need of healing, in need of just revival too. Would you pray for the church, whatever's on your heart specifically for?
Sure. Our Father, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful body that you, have ordained. We thank you that, Jesus, you are building your church. You continue to build your church.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of that and that I get to be a part of that. And God, we know that we all love our churches. We love our country. We love what you've done in the past. But God, we are in desperate need of more of the power of God. We're in desperate need of revival. We're in desperate need to see lives changed and hearts transformed by the gospel. And Lord, we know that that's not going to come from buildings or bank accounts or programs, but God, it only comes from the power that is found by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Holy Spirit, we are so thankful that when Jesus left, that he gave you to the church, he gave you to believers.
And
Lord, through you, we have the power to see things happen that cannot accomplish on our own. And Lord, we don't want to go by ourselves. Just build a number in a church, but God, we want to see you do something. We want to see you change our country.
We want to
ask you to forgive us for the famine that we've allowed ourselves to stay in. Lord, we've nibbled at the table of entertainment and things like this far too long. God, call our hearts, call our churches, raise up pastors and raise up churches and communities, and maybe communities where churches used to flourish, now there are none. God, we pray that you would raise them up, encourage pastors, encourage church leaders, and give the vision and the passion back to your bride, Lord. Help us to rise and to catch the wind of the Holy Spirit and what you want to do.
Thank you, Lord.
I just pray that you would be glorified, and Lord, that America once again would turn their hearts and turn its hearts as we bend our knee before you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And Father, too, thank you. And thank you for Pastor Norris, and thank you for him sharing his heart. And Lord, thank you for every person that's listening today, and thank you for the opportunity each person has of being able to really make it the priority in their life that you want them to make it, to be a person who lives a life given to prayer. Mm-hmm. Lord, for every single believer listening and every church represented, Lord, set each of us afire anew with the spirit of prayer. Help us to recognize, Lord, that there's so many things you'll do in and through the life of any individual, any couple, any family that makes prayer the priority you want it to be. And Lord, for every church as well, for every church that makes prayer the priority you want it to be, Lord, show them your hand in a mighty way. Help us to recognize, Lord, that there's so many things that you're ready to do today in us or through us as we simply learn to live, walking the journey of life in a mode of prayer. And Father, again, we pray that every single church represented listing, as again, would be set on fire, fresh with the spirit of prayer, and make it a priority to really establish a strong and a vibrant prayer ministry in their church.
Yes,
and Lord, help us to not think of it as a nice little side thing to do, but help us to recognize that prayer in so many ways is the engine behind the church, the engine behind the kingdom of God, and the engine behind your people getting your work done, because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers any and everything that gets done. Thank you for the chance to be a people given to prayer. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Norris, we just have just a few minutes left as we finish our time. I want to ask that in the Beloit, Ohio community where you are, you said you're in a rural community.
We are.
What would you say would be some of the biggest challenges you and your church fellowship face in your community that you know of at this time?
I would say one of the biggest things is disillusionment with the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing a generation of people who either have relatives who have been hurt by church, turned off by church, mm-hmm. or things like that, or we're seeing people who have no church background, and so therefore there's this invisible wall there. They don't know what mm-hmm. to expect, and so therefore it's hard to reach them at times.
So when you say disillusion, you're speaking of people that have either left the church or just want to have nothing to do with the church. They feel like it's a waste of their time. And so tough people that seem to have a tough exterior wall, just wanting to stay arm distance from the church.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Well, what would you say would be some of the main priorities right now that your church is implementing to really try to address some of these challenges?
I would say the first thing we're doing is we're endeavoring to become as healthy as we can, so that
as a church family,
right? Mm-hmm. And so that evangelism, and we're seeing some of it already, so that evangelism happens naturally, and so that these walls can be torn down relationally rather than as a church going out, that there's individuals being the church mm-hmm. going out and reaching across and reaching people.
Okay, then. And how would you like for people to pray for you as a pastor and for your church family? What would you like for listeners to pray for you about?
James says that if we need wisdom, we should ask of God, and so we always need that. And so we're needing wisdom. We're growing. Our building is almost to capacity mm-hmm. right now, and so we're not sure what to do mm-hmm. Exactly going forward. But we're praying for God to lead us, and then obviously that He would raise up more leaders. Mm-hmm. We know that what He wants to do is bigger than a pastor or just elders in a church. What He wants to do is community wide. Mm-hmm. So we're asking God to raise up more leaders.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for Pastor Norris, and thank you for the Connecting Point Chapel church family. Lord, thank you for the work you've called them to in the Beloit, Ohio community. Father, Lord, give Pastor Norris and his leadership team, give them wisdom, guidance, direction, mm-hmm. and vision as they provide leadership for the Connecting Point Chapel church. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless them with much insight, wisdom, and direction and encouragement while he and those that are with him attend this particular event this week. And Lord, I pray that you'd use it in a fresh way to give them just new revelation from your heart about how to really effectively reach the community and reach beyond the community where they are to do the work you've called them to. And Lord, for every single, again, every church family listening, more and more give us vision and a passion to be about your business, to be about the work of helping people to come to know Christ, helping people to grow up in their faith, to helping people to come to see the need for them to every believer being involved in vital and vibrant ministry to accomplish your will. And help us to know, Lord, that you call every believer into full-time ministry. All of us are called to be vessels of your Holy Spirit through which you can reach and do mighty things, both to share the gospel, to help people grow in their faith, and to help bring healing and wholeness and love to a hurting and a dying world. And Lord, help us to never lose our passion for you, for wanting to honor you and glorify you in every part of our lives. And again, bless Pastor Norris according to your perfect will. Bless his family, Lord. Keep them safe as they carry out the work they do in positions of leadership. And Lord, we know that so many times leadership can be, being a leader can be a tough job, but a very rewarding job as we see your hand working in and through us to get your work done. We thank you. We praise you. And Lord, thank you for this. Finally, we thank you for the balance of this conference. Lord, anoint it. And Lord, more and more use it. I pray that those that will be listening in, those will be watching by way of internet, will be blessed, edified, and encouraged much. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Norris, for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. And please, we ask that you would keep Pastor Norris and the Connecting Point Chapel in your prayers and pray for the rest of the the Fusion Conference. Praise the Lord. Bless it. That God would bless it and accomplish what he wants to accomplish through. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.